Shawty, you know the vibes. When I hop in the ride, you better be ready when I pull outside. Baby, you know the vibes, baby. Baby, you know the vibes. Coming live from the 6-1, you hold the 5.
What's going on, Travel Fam? It's your main man, Just GQ, and you are tuned in to the return of The Travel Guys, the podcast dedicated to making travel easy for everyday people like you and me. And with this return during the era of the podcast, where every Tom, Dick, and Harry has a podcast, but you remember who was here first. You remember who's been giving you travel tips, travel hacks, travel stories since 2017, The Travel Guide. So we are bringing it back for you for the one time. And in this return effort, we're going to feature an episode that I was guest starring on or guest appearing on. And with one of my old blogging buddies, the Marcus Garrett, at the Marcus Garrett. You got to take a look at him. And back in the day, we were in the relationship space, talking about all the things that are now, that are always topical, but have now spun the block and are frequent topics of conversation. And so Marcus asked me to come on his podcast, which is now more financially focused, Life After Debt with the Marcus Garrett. You guys should check in at a minimum, follow him on Instagram. He drops a lot of nuggets and provides really strong commentary and perspective for people looking to build wealth and find financial freedom. But Marcus had reached out to me and had asked me to make an appearance on an episode that was focused on discussing the Passport Bros, the notorious Passport Bros. No Diddy. So I agreed because I have been accused of being a passport bro, which I am definitely not. And I will go into my reasoning for why I would not consider myself to be a passport bro. However, this has been pretty topical on the interweb. So if you have not come across this, any of these threads, then this could be an educational opportunity for you just to get in the know. But essentially, just to set the stage before I let the episode do the talking, Passport Bros are mostly, or they are characterized as men who previously did not have a lot of motion, and then they got motion, or they didn't, but they are fleeing America in favor of international destinations to find women with traditional values, or what they would define as traditional values. So I think this was a good conversation. It was funny. It was informative. It yielded perspective, which are all the things that you want, right? So I'm going to step aside, but not before I remind you to go ahead and subscribe, if you have not, to the Travel Guys podcast. You can do so on all podcast outlets, which I know that people are more in tune with now. However, I will humbly request Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Travel Guys podcast. And remember, your next adventure is just a click away.
What is a passport, bro? We go to the definitive experts, Fox News. The viral movement coined as passport bros on TikTok refers to men seeking foreign women who they believe come from more conservative backgrounds and therefore place more emphasis on family and loyalty. That comes from Fox News. Passport bros, growing number of men ditching American women overseas. Josh, what do you think of that definition? And what is your definition of a passport bro?
What's going on, man? First of all, it's great to be here. So shout out to all the people. Thank you all for tuning in. Allow me to introduce myself as well. I am Josh. You may know me as at GQ50. I am the host of the Travel Guys podcast, also known as Nice Guy Josh from F-Boy Island on HBO Max, now Max. I think that definition is interesting. I will admit, when I heard about the passport bro movement initially, I was pretty confused. So as a traveler and someone who was introduced to the term by being accused of being a passport bro, I was quite confused. However, I think as I have heard that definition as well as other definitions, it made sense to me, just because I can see and I know some of the gentlemen in that cohort that would be going abroad to seek love, to seek companionship, or just to, seek a good time with no strings attached. I think from my perspective, a passport bro is someone who I think the term that I take, or the piece of that definition that I take a bit of exception to, and which is why it made me laugh, is ditching American women. And because I think like there it has been like the men versus women narrative that has been going on and circling through the internet. I think it's one thing if you are just going abroad to seek companionship or to seek a partner. It's another thing if you are doing it while, for lack of a better term, dissing American women in the process of that.
And maybe this is the nature of all things in 2024, but I do agree with you. Like, it went negative quick. I was introduced Passport Bros to like a random TikTok to a podcast, and I'll drop it in the show notes that I don't listen or follow to, but I was like, it's pretty interesting. And I wish I'll shout them out. Maybe I can find it quickly before this episode ends or edited in. But basically, they were talking specifically about the Philippines, and it was what looked like a Caucasian male, and she presented as what looked like a Caucasian female. But they were taking a more, I guess, educated, mature approach to it. They said the Philippines specifically because they're bilingual, tend to be well-educated because there's a number, for Americans, right, a number of bilingual-speaking Filipinos and well-educated to the degree that you feel about this because of all the corporations that went out there and established all these call centers. So they were saying that if you do want to be a passport bro traveling abroad, and they were saying looking for love, not looking for a hookup, they were recommending countries where they've established these call centers. And that actually afford you a lot of countries around the world because of the imperialism and capitalism of American society.
It all comes back to capitalism at the end.
Yeah. So that was kind of their positive dynamic and spinner. Do you have any thoughts on, and I will ask you to establish your expertise with, like, how many countries have you been to? I know you've been to definitely more than me, and I want to say in the hundreds, but like, let these people know, you know, your pedigree, and then why do you think it went negative so quickly?
Yeah, so I think, so travel for me has always been a lifestyle. Like, I started traveling, you know, I did like some like island hopping with my family on like family vacations and whatnot as a kid. But then I think when I went on a youth group trip to France and Spain when I was going into high school, and that was the first time that I had jumped a body of water. And that was honestly when I had just had an elaborate travel experience. Kind of hated it initially. I got pickpocketed in France. I was beefing with Paris for like a strong 10 years. Loved Spain though when I was over there. Spain, and for the sake of the conversation, Spanish women as well. Like, I was very much like enamored by this, you know, by the women that I was seeing at the tender age of 14. So take it for what it's worth. After grad school,
let me ask.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the audience may want to explore. Are you bilingual? Do you speak Spanish?
Say
habla español.
Okay. Say habla español.
Continue.
And so after I went to grad school, then I moved over to Europe for 3 months. So we were based in Barcelona, but traveled to Spain, France, everywhere within Spain, France, Andorra, which is a tiny country on the coast, on the border of France and Spain, which is 90% of the reason why we went there, because it's so obscure. Portugal, as well as Italy, and had a ball. And that's when I fell in love with travel and just never wanted to stop. And so anytime I have some time, I'm trying to move freely about the cabin. I have not touched 100 yet, but last time I did a count, I was right around 70. So I think, you know, I'm not someone who wants to touch all 195 to 203, depending if you're using Olympic rules or if you know, territories and all that action. But I do seek to have rich international experiences where I can connect with the culture, where I can connect with the people, and where it's additive to my way of life. So just to establish that piece, one, I, you know, have experienced some, you know, a good amount of different cultures. I will say to this point, you can fall in love when you travel. I'm just saying it's possible. It's happened to me once or twice. You know, I think it just depends on where you are in life. You never know when you are experiencing a different culture, like what type of situation that's going to have on you. You also never know who you're going to meet and how you're going to vibe. And, you know, and I think that each experience is unique, and it will behoove you as the person having it to lean in to the experience, you know, as your situation allows, as well as, you know, as aligns to your comfort level.
I appreciate you for saying that. You know, I got this infinity ring on. Yeah, I had to get the infinity ring on for this episode. And so the episode was the Emily and Todd podcast, whom I assume is still going, but I'll drop that in the show notes. If you want to look up that episode, it is How Becoming a Passport Bro May Be a Real Solution for Some Men, Myths Debunked. And the reason I bring that up, like, so I said I would be like the objective, let me set the stage for, you know, what's going on in America. Like, so my platform is Life After Debt with D. Marcus Garrett. Like, I am up to and including today shocked by some of these numbers. I was dropping like the wealth report. It was looking at already retired individuals in America. So these are retirees right now. They only have 100,000 saved. The recommendation at minimum is 500,000. 25% of retirees, 25% of retirees have $0 saved. 19% have already went through their savings. This is in present day. To put some context to that, the boomers who, you know, I think were born in 1950, they'll turn 65, so retirement age. 10,000 boomers every day for the next 10 years will turn 65, eligible for retirement, and a quarter of those might not have any retirement savings. So you've got your, you know, that's a little bit of your silver fox sugar daddy passport, bro. I mean, this is a real thing. I've seen some silver fox in the passport, bro. And I mean, they look happy. I mean, grinning from ear to ear, you know, can't knock the smile off the dentures. You know what I'm saying? So there's that side of it. Then you've got your younger male. So the average male here, I've got the numbers. Average American male 2024 stands 5'9". Their average income, average, is $78,000, so under $80,000. Their median income is $56,000. Now, here's a stat that I found this year. I refresh these numbers every year. This shocked me. 45% of men ages 18 to 25 have never approached a woman.
45%.
45. 4 out of 10. 2 out of 5.
Does that surprise you?
On paper, it surprised me for two reasons. Number one, I'm old school, so I'm like black book, pen, paper. Like, first of all, like I cut, you know, steel sharpened steel. So I remember what it was like to have to, because there was no other option to approach a woman. So
right. There's
that. And then I remember seeing this TikTok, and he's like, yo, TikTok, do your thing. And he's like, find her for me. And he turns around, and the woman's behind him. And I was like, I've never been so upset. Like, I'm like, how far have our kings fallen that way? You can't turn around, tap a woman on the shoulder, like, so that was shocking to me. But then I started to think about it, and there's actually this other stat. As of 2024, actually the last time they did the study, as of 2019 was the last official study, 37% of relationships started online.
Yeah.
So I'm also wondering, have I just aged out of my understanding of what the dating scene is? So I want to be empathetic to these young men, number one. And then they estimate by 2024, 2025, that 50% of relationships and up will start online. So I think it's the dynamic of, one, you have the option and the choice. And really, a lot of men listed the number and reason they don't approach women was, there was a more technical term for it, but basically they don't want to look stupid. They don't, you know, they don't want to, they don't want to be a trending topic. They don't want to be a meme. They don't want to be the ick. They don't want to be creepy. And so I have to see that side of it. And then even when you couldn't approach, or when even when you only had the choice to approach women, like back in my day, senior millennial represented here for the elder millennials, it was, I got a homeboy. He's a shooter.
Right.
We call him the J.R. Smith of the group.
You're gonna get
there's
some
like five. So like, we got a basketball team. Most of us are married now, so the dynamics have changed a little. Most of us on the bench, you know, coaching at this point.
Right.
Some of us are in the stands. But that being said, you always got, or maybe you do, I feel like every group just got somebody. They just come off the bench and they're already putting up threes. No warm up. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
So I put all that together to say that I at least understand either the passport movement Or if you were in America and that video that went viral when I posted the average man, and so you see these women, they're saying, I think the average man makes, I think the lowest amount was 80,000. They were like 140. I think one said 320. Yeah. So if you are in the dating pool, 40%, and you might be within it, have never approached a woman. And then the women you think that you might want to approach are saying that I need a man who's 6 feet tall and makes $300,000. That could be a little intimidating.
I would agree.
I could see you turn into the passport side.
I would 100% agree, man. I think, like, we are in the era of the DM slide. You know what I mean? Like, as soon as really Facebook, when Cass was poking chicks and doing all that stuff, and then when Twitter came up, and then you were DM sliding, you sliding into DMs, and then Instagram kicked it off to a whole nother level. Snap took it to a nasty level, but you know what I'm saying? That's over there. And I think it's just a sign of the times, to be all the way honest. On top of that, we are, as you know, call it Gen Z and millennials, getting married later, having kids later or not at all. And you also, or you have people who had their kids early who are now, who have missed out on certain experiences. And so they're trying to catch up when they got grown children who are perhaps by the age of 40 or something like that. And then their kids are going off to school or doing whatever they need to do. So they are essentially they are responsible for themselves at that point. You obviously have more support, but they are able to, you know, mama or daddy are able to like reclaim their lives and be able to partake in some of the activities that they've been watching from the sideline. I think also what you touched on is privilege, physical privilege, pretty privilege or handsome privilege, and financial privilege. I think what you mentioned, you're talking about the average. So you have the average gentleman making, I believe you said around 50 grand, where women think that it's, you know, 200, 300, definitely six figures. But there are some men who are getting to the bag early. And so, and there are some men who are 6 feet, and there are some men who fit the aesthetic and all that. And in that, you get your thirst out early. Like, you're not really thirsty because you are receiving attention. You know what I mean? And so it's not necessarily new to you to garner female attention. And I think that privilege across the board, across being able to, and this is something that I talk to some of my homegirls about frequently, where I'm just like, y'all overestimate how much experience men have with women. Message. Like, it's just not that, like, you're around guys who are doing that because you are, and I shudder to use the term, but you kick it with alpha males. You kick it with dudes who are used to some feeling, some degree of being the man and being able to walk in and to own the room and to drive attention. And so with that, it skews your perspective on the average man who is trying to get to this situation. So let's call this average man Jamal. Okay, so Jamal is in middle school, and he loves this chick named Keisha. Okay, he loves Keisha. Keisha's been in his class. They worked on projects together. He adores Keisha, okay? Keisha is not stunning him at all. So Keisha goes to high school. Keisha realized she's fine. So she's getting a lot of attention. Jamal kind of scrawny, kind of nerdy, just kind of, you know, just an average dude. Keisha getting attention from the athletes. Keisha getting attention from the dope boys, maybe. Keisha getting attention from, you know, the cool cats in the high school. Keisha go to college. Jamal go to college. Jamal is in engineering school, pre-law, biology major, what have you. Still looks pretty much the same. Not really developed necessarily, still kind of scrawny, what have you. Keisha go to college, she flourishes. Maybe she pledges a sorority, but she, first day on campus.
What sorority does she pledge?
I'm guessing she a K or she a Delta, one of the two, you know what I'm saying? But nice save. But the noobs love her, the football players love her, the basketball players love her, everybody loving Keisha. Keisha feeling herself. Maybe Keisha links up with a dude who she thinks is going to the league. Maybe she has a baby, maybe she doesn't. Then Jamal is just matriculating through school. He gets accepted to law school, to med school. He goes through. Now Jamal getting in the gym. Jamal hit a growth spurt. Now Jamal, you know, now he's 6'6", 6'1". Now he 200. Got a little chest on him. Got his abs right. And now he got his pockets right as well. Then Keisha spin a block. Maybe she's heartbroken. Maybe she's got a kid. Maybe she doesn't. And now she's looking for a nice husband, father. And she's like, well, I remember Jamal was a really nice guy. But Jamal just got to the bag. So now Jamal is about to live his life. And this is where, like, I can't necessarily blame him for that. Because it's like, you work all this time to get to establish yourself, to have access to this privilege. And now that you have it, you're gonna live this life.
So I'm gonna introduce, and I thought that was a good hypothetical, you know, no relation to real events, real or imagined, to those listening in the audience. But I thought that is a good and very real and relative example that people can see themselves in on both sides, on the outside, got a friend, got a homeboy. And I was trying unsuccessfully to explain a little bit of that dynamic to my wife. I think every, especially black couple, has had this debate, you know, about the celebrities and everything, the women they choose to surround themselves with. Yep. It didn't even have to be, I'd say, well off, typically black or African American men, because some men see themselves as two different things there, and I won't even go down that pathway, when they reach a level of success. And what I heard, which some people are not even going to hear, it's like when you're watching a movie, you see three different stories. My father says on every story, there's your version, their version, and the truth.
Yep.
Some people are going to see, like, you know, Jamal's a jerk. You know, like, he had this good woman in his life. Of course, he should, now that she's ready, why is he not ready to settle down? And now that she's ready. And what I was trying to explain to my wife is when you, especially if you're a man who did not have early success, whether that was in looks or with women or with whatever it may be, you carry that heartbreak, that burden, or if nothing else, that memory. I remember getting rejected, and fairly or unfairly, I remember the women that rejected me looked like me, or they looked like this. Are these were the type of women, even if they didn't reject me, they didn't accept me at that time. And now that I have these things, and now you start to move into this level where all women are interested in you because you have the attributes that you talk about.
Yep.
Now, I'm not speaking on behalf of all women, but I'll list these attributes. He's over 6 foot tall now.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone.
You know, if they're going to cancel me, don't have to catch that clip where I got my disclaimer in. You know what I'm saying? I've been around the circle. I've been around the block a few times. And so I just list the attributes, and you tell me if this would be attractive to a woman, if you were a woman listening, who's single. You know, he's over 6 feet tall. He's got his bag, right? He's packing where he needs to be packing. You can decipher from that. Maybe he's a passport bro. Maybe he's, you know, whatever. You can decipher from that metaphor whatever you want. And tall, dark, and handsome. Tall, light, and handsome, whatever you may be into. But he's got those attributes. Do you think you would be the only woman drawn to that? Now, two differentiations there may be, maybe he's always been that way. Not like the case with Jamal and Keisha. I think it's actually more, I use problematic. I really don't think it's problematic because I agree with you. It's just, it's a lived experience.
Yeah.
Where now we are crossing timelines, but we have different goals. We've got different finish lines. And when I wanted to run with you, you weren't around. Now you're ready to host up the trophy. And I feel like everybody wants to show up to host the trophy,
1,000%.
To throw the party, to be in the parade. Like there hasn't been enough around in the race, putting in the work, help me put up those benches, shoot me within the gym, as Kobe would say. So we've also got on the other side, passport women.
Yep.
And somewhat related to that, you brought a clip. Talk us a little bit through this clip. Because I actually didn't know who the person was. And then give us your perspective on it for the listening audience.
Okay, so I'm an audiophile, love music. And one of my favorite artists of this new generation is a man by the name of Brent Faiyaz. Brent was on Wallow and M's podcast, Gillian Wallow's podcast. It's an old episode. It was at least a year, maybe two ago. But a clip has gone viral and has been getting a lot of attention on Twitter. And I think there's some relevance to the conversation that we're having now, where essentially Brent is talking about him just being black and minding his own business and getting hit up by a woman who was interested in spending time with him, to which he agrees. However, she asks him to send her a car. And then when she comes over, then she is essentially disrupting his night, where he's just looking to vibe, maybe, and she comes over on a different vibe. She's being argumentative, and it essentially boils down to him just being like, I wish that you would have just not come over. So
listen, man, these chicks will, like, they'll hit you to hang out. One, mind you, you minding your business, doing whatever the fuck you doing, wasn't even thinking about shorty. She'll hit you to hang out, say, what you doing? You say, I'm doing number one, boom, boom. Can I pull up on you? Yeah, cool, come through, meet me here, whatever. Can you call me a car? I didn't even hit you. I didn't even ask you to hang out. I was minding my business. I gotta call you a car to come meet me. Look, and then even if that was the case, right? Even if it's like, you know what, I fuck with shorty, she is cool. You know what? She hit me to kick it. I like her company. I'll call her a car. You feel me? She come kick it. And then when she get there, she'll get on your fucking nerves. It's like, it ain't even like you gonna come around, you feel me? It ain't even like you gonna come around and I'm paying for the car and all this and that, and you just cooling. Like, you'll be opinionated on shit and have fucking, like,
wanna argue with shit, fuck the vibe.
I'm like,
argue with,
like,
the waiter.
That's a waste of a day. That's a waste of a day, bro. You're like, you, now energy. You wasting my time. Like, yeah. This is time I really could have been spending doing some other shit, because I didn't even ask to see you.
The conversation, I think, because he says, and she's opinionated, as opposed to, in like, Wallow or Gilly, I get them confused, to be honest. But he tries to kind of correct or interpret his point as being, she's being argumentative, which, within the context, that makes sense. However, people latched on to, like, her coming over and she can't have an opinion and you don't actually enjoy spending time with her, or you actually hate her and all that stuff, which I feel like is a bit of a leap. However, I think that also can apply to travel as well. When you go, vacations are very popular these days. Everybody wants to go, you know, you have to go somewhere with someone. You have the memes that are like, I ain't doing all this texting all day. You know, hit me whenever we booking flights and you got a room booked and everything. You also have times where you also have the talk track where women are saying, make a plan. Don't call me asking what to do. Call me telling me what we're going to do, which I would say, going back to the privilege conversation, applies heavily there, because those who can. Those who can't think they can until they learn that they cannot. So I think that talk track is there as well. However, I will say that I have definitely been on a vacation with a few, actually. I would say three come to mind, where you get there and you're just like, you know, I really wish that I wasn't with you, or I wish that I would have come by myself. You are actually kind of ruining my time here, and I probably could have reallocated these dollars to a different trip that would have been more enjoyable. And I can attribute this bad time that I'm having, at least 90%, to you being here. So I think that's more so where I was coming from, how I was interpreting that. I have had that also, like, domestically as well. And I think it's just, but I think it could also just attribute to people being on different vibes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't do everything with everybody. Sometimes people are, especially if you haven't set the stage that this is what we on.
So I feel, this is my opinion that I bring to the table, is that I feel that, you know, we are living through, and you could argue how long this time period has been, feel like all my life, but at least 10 years.
Shout out Casey and JoJo.
Maybe, yeah, you know, 20, you know, 20 years both ways, you know, that audio, that audio history book that you bring to the table.
Right.
But whatever timeline you put on it, I feel like we are in some type of friction. Like, there just seems to be a constant friction, and maybe it's enabled through social media and the algorithms or whatever, but it seems to be a constant fever and friction between men and women. And it seems to be, you have your extremes, so I won't even speak to those. We can roll our eyes at those, and yet those may be the loudest voices, so I won't
absolutely
speak to those. But even in the, so that's zero and this is 10, even in the 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, and 8, you still have, it seems like the parties want equality. And I say this for men and women. The parties want equality while maintaining all of the benefits of their gender. So I want equality until I have to pay for something. So if I was a stereotypical woman, I want equality until I have to pay for something. I want equality until I have to plan. I want equality until I have to make the first move. I want equality until I see you doing and becoming a passport bro. Now, why aren't you staying stateside? I want equality as long as you're 6 feet tall, make 6 or 7 figures, and you're packing in all the right places. In fairness, on the men's side, I want equality, actually it'd be the opposite. I want to be in lead. I want to be the alpha until she wants me to pay. I want to exactly be the lead, man. I want to be the alpha. I want to be the shooter, like my boy. Shout out to him, and he knows who he is. I'll even shout out to B. Shout out to the shooter on the team until it's I need to pay, or I need to make the plan, or I got to send the Uber Black, you know, because I didn't have a conversation where I send the Uber Black, and I have not sent the Uber Black. Like, you just sending the Uber X over here. I'm like, hey, girl, you don't hop in that free vehicle.
That would set me off. I ain't going to hold you, bro. Like,
but that being said, so my question for this portion of the show to the women is really, what would, and drop this in the comments, what would be your recommendation or advice to the men who fall outside of the sevens and up, however you define that, whatever vision of man you see that, like, oh, he's clearly a seven, whatever celebrity or, you know, whoever that pops in your head, every man below that, whom I guess is short and probably, you know, Pac is also short. Like, what are they to do in this friction heavy society? And I know you're dealing with it too, and you and y'all have y'all burdens as well. But I'd be curious, because I think a lot of men are like, well, what do I do? Because it's not that doing this travel makes it frictionless. It's that there is less friction out there because a lot of these societies aren't in this portion of the debate. And that could be, like you said, the thematic privilege of a capitalist, well, one of, you know, top five, top 10 richest societies. So I read somewhere it's like, once you have satisfied all your, you know, your base level, then you can start arguing about these things, like who should pay for dinner. Other people are like, who gonna eat tonight?
Right.
We over here like, who gonna pay for dinner? Like, that's the privilege of our society.
And that also reminds me, and while we're talking about the passport sisters, that there are a couple of, you know, this is not a male only dynamic. You have girl trips, and that's also a hot topic on the, you know, in Twitter and on Instagram and in Instagram circles as well, where there was a woman that just went viral recently. I think she was like in her mid-40s, and she was talking about she doesn't see a point in girls trips and everything, and you know, she also mentioned that she doesn't have any girlfriends, so I'm sure that was a contributing factor. However, you know, girls trips are also a lot of the rage. Those are happening. They're very prevalent as well beyond bachelorette parties and whatnot. However, girls go on trips and they live their life as well. As someone who's been on an independent trip or trips with my boys, and then we run into a girls trip or run into a bachelorette party as well, and they trying to have a good time also. I think you also have, while passport bros are flooding you know, Eastern Asian countries, and Colombia and DR and Brazil, you also have the passport sisters who are going in droves to Jamaica and are having a great time down there, riding on the rafts, getting the rub down, the thigh rub down and all that action on the beach as well. So they're having a great time doing that also. So I think the dynamic, granted the branding is different, and probably the prevalence of the conversations are different, the dynamics still apply to both as well. And one connective tissue that is a little dark is that there is violence happening when they are on these trips, specifically in Colombia, specifically in Jamaica. There you have, I believe, the advisory level for Jamaica went up, and granted, advisory levels are, you know, whatever, when you live in America, where we've had more mass shootings. We've had double the mass shootings nearly than we have had days in the year for, I believe, 4 years straight. So, you know, we just take that with a grain of salt when you see, like, don't go visit here. However, people are getting hurt when they are traveling for specifically romantic tourism, we'll call it, in Jamaica and in Colombia as well. So I would just implore people, regardless of what you're doing, do what you do. Be safe.
Message.
Pay your tab if you have one. And get home, you know? Like, when you go, get home. Let me ask you this. Because here's a few thoughts. So, one, I think that what I don't want to neglect, because we have been talking about, like, the 6 foot, the built, the, you know, et cetera. Dudes are very shallow as well. And so I think, like, I think that this is a hot topic as well when you are looking at, you know, Asian countries. I think, you know, what's hot on my radar, what has been as far as the passport bros go, has been Colombia, has been Brazil, has been Dominican Republic, like those types of places as well. You're getting a different aesthetic of woman there as well. And I think that you could make an argument for fetishization in that regard as well. And I think that can also leave American women feeling in a certain way, you know? And I think that way is very much understandable. I also think that you have insecure men. And I think that beyond, like, the Jamal, because Jamals don't necessarily have to be insecure. You could have always known that you were the man and just grown into what you knew that you always were. You know what I'm saying? But I think there are some, especially to your earlier point, if you have been passed over for, you know, this athlete here, this football player here, this basketball player here, this actor here, this famous person, this reality star here, then you may feel a way. You may feel like, okay, this is my barometer, this is my measuring stick. Every time I do something, and all that you are trying to do is to prove that you are better than the guys who you've been passed up for. And so I think within that insecurity manifests itself in different ways within relationships. Like, you have men who want to hold women back, who want to have financial control, who want to have physical control, who want to do all these things because it's rooted in insecurity and the insecurity of being in control of the situation. You're not going to leave me, et cetera, et cetera. I, again, going back to the privilege, man, I just feel like when you know you got the juice, like, you're not really acting like that. Like, when's the last time you were tripping on, you know, like, if you are spending time with a woman, if you have gotten to that point where, especially the point where you traveling with her, or you doing something like that, when are you not covering what's happening? Like, at least when, you know, when y'all get there, like, that's typically been my rule. Like, you get there, and once you get there, like, it's all good. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got it. And I just feel like I don't know a lot of cats that are nickel and diamond once they get to it. And so that's, I think a lot of women would talk themselves out of it by trying to set these hard and fast rules before you even get out the gates. I don't even like how you're talking about it. So now I'm cool. So no thanks. Right.
I mean, you know, because you was around in the blogs when I was writing about it. But my rule of thumb even then was, you know, I like women that like me. So I had a very simple guiding rule because I really wasn't trying to, I wasn't the shooter. So in our group, you know, one time we named it, like, I was like, I'm the Ray Allen of the group. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be out on the wing.
I'm spotting
up. But look, you get it out there, I'm putting shots up. And them shots is going in. But, like, I'm not going to be all under the rim. I'm not elbowing with the big fellas. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to be out there stepping and everything like that. So, you know, a quiet shooter, you know, but I get it done. And I feel like maybe, unfortunately, that has been lost because the reason I figured that out about myself is through the grind. You know, I read some quote and it was something like, you know, be thankful for how can you know who you are, but for the difficulties in life. You should be grateful for those because they shape you into who you are. So it is through all the failures, through all the women I did not get, I was able to refine, oh, this is the group of women I can have more success with. I ain't enabled. I ain't entitled to nothing. But these are the type of women I will likely be more successful with. That was number one. So that would be, you know, I asked earlier what advice women would give to a young man out there who's failing. You know, first of all, failure is natural. So to the 40% of men who aren't approaching women, whether that's DMs or otherwise, like, there's nothing to be learned or gained there, because the failure is part of what I will, you know, quote unquote, call the game. But number two, it was a difficult dynamic, because I, you know, respect the player, hate the game. So I would see these women, sometimes know these women. Sometimes these women would at least entertain, you know, I guess I'd be the guy who was there. I was friend zoned or whatever they're calling it these days. So I would be privy to the conversation. They're like, man, you know, Marcus, damn, if only you had your money right. If only you was 3-4 inches taller, you know. And I'm like, you know, that hurts, but that's good to hear, like going back to the still sharp and still. But I still remember the pain of like, damn, the only thing stopping me from being successful in this dynamic is my pockets hurt. Something that at that time, couldn't help. Genetically, I can't get no taller.
Right.
And so I still remember, and I empathize with men like that. And I guess, like you said, women will feel that in a different way. But I, you know, I've had these conversations with my wife. I still don't think they understand, because you're right. For some men, it is entitlement. But getting turned down hurts. Going to a club and approaching, at my peak.
Peak Ray Allen. This is Celtics or in Heat Ray Allen.
Thank you. Ray Allen's probably shooter percentage is like 40%. Steph Curry is probably 40. It's probably under 50%. So he misses half his shots.
Right.
Imagine you went to the club tonight, ladies, because this isn't a foreign conversation for gentlemen. Then you went to the club and you said, tonight I'm going to approach men. And half of them turned you down. So every other dude, and I was probably doing 30%. Like, so I knew when I went in, we had all kinds of rules just to get a bucket on the board, just to see something go through the net, just to see something go through the net. Now, mind you, sometimes you get turned down by the one you're not even attracted to. So your night really messed up.
I was going to say, that's a sign of a bad night.
That being said, like, so you're like, okay, it's a numbers game. It's a numbers game. That's the psychological aspect of it. But if you are a man, and I know men like this, it's the inverse. They've got nothing but L's on the board for years. They've got a decade of losses. I was going to say they're the Detroit Lions, but they went to the playoffs this year. So they're the Detroit Lions for the last 25 years. So imagine if 25 years of your life was lost. It's like the perspective you would have on how cruel and unfair the world is. And then yet someone then introduced you to the only thing stopping you from success tonight is a $200 plane ticket.
Yep.
On Delta Blue.
Yep. Facts.
You know?
Facts.
You would jump if you were a logical person who doesn't want to be in pain. You would jump at that opportunity just to put some W's on the board, I would think.
I think you bring up a great point, because I think, and that was what that was a point that I wanted to make. Like, travel has changed the stakes in multiple ways. It has changed the stakes in terms of, this is something that women are very like vocal about. Like, as I mentioned, like, vacations are very in vogue now. And as somebody who produces and propagates these topics, it's very topical. Like, people love it. They are looking for it. That is something that they are speaking about early and often in romantic engagements. However, some guys overextend, as you mentioned, perhaps to your point. I'm in the red zone. I'm about to be able to engage with a woman the way that I've wanted to, not sexual necessarily, but as I've wanted to. However, the thing that's standing between me and spending time with this woman, the time that I want to spend with this woman, is buying a plane ticket. Maybe I got it. Maybe I don't. Maybe I shouldn't spend it. But I know that she's bad, and she's better than any chick that I've ever encountered or that I've ever realistically had a chance of spending time with. So I'm going to spend it. And I'm going to overextend. I'm going to buy the plane ticket. I'm going to buy the hotel. I'm going to pay for all the meals. Hell, I might even buy her an outfit or two just so that I can make this as enjoyable of an experience as possible and increase my chances of her being interested in me. And that creates entitlement, resentment, a lot of these things where you get there, you're not even having a good time. Because nothing ruins a trip more than when you got to count your pockets the whole time. You can't even order extra fries because I'm like, ugh.
And now you mad when she's doing
75?
Yeah. When she putting guac on there, you like, I know you don't eat guac at home. I know you don't eat guac at home. Sparkling water. I know you ain't seen sparkling water day in your life.
What is going on? Like, so it's a whole situation. I think it's changed. To your point though, I think, and this has always been my mantra, which is not necessarily different. I am pretty picky. However, I've always lived by the mantra that like chicks choose. Like women are never shy about. Not I shouldn't say never, but typically women will let you know if you can approach. If there is some interest, they may not come up to you and you know grab you by your shirt and be like, talk to me.
Actually, I'm gonna disagree. I'm disagreeing perhaps on behalf of the listening audience. But what are the signs that you look for? Because I know some of these 40% of men who have never approached a woman in their life. What are those signs? Give them a guide.
I mean, I think it's
green book, if you will.
When to stop, when to keep going. I think, in my experience, it can be really subtle, right? Like a lingering look, an unnecessary comment as she walks by, asking you, do you have the time, when she has a phone like everybody else does. Those types of things are subtle, as well as, you know, on the upper end of the range, just coming up to you and being like, what's going on? I like how you look. I like your fit. You look like, you know, XYZ. Like, I'm trying to see what's good. I think anything within that range can fall into a choice being made and you being given permission to or consent to approach the bench and to have a conversation or just an expression of interest.
Coming from, I want to play, you know, devil's advocate, you know, when a woman is interested, I think a lot of men are blind to that. And it's not that I'm blind to it, but what I've noticed over the years, again, through refinement, through play, through being in the game in this metaphor, is that I would argue up to, and you know, she would argue, first of all, we've been arguing about this and we married now. We're going to argue about it to the end, is that I wouldn't say attracted, but more drawn to my, you know, if you were to look back over my playing history, which is right. You know, very small and very refined, you know, just my wife, and that's all that matters. But that being said, if you were to go back and look over the arc and all the teams that I've been traded to over the playing history, and you were to go back and you know, look at my playing card, you'd be like, you know, most of the women that he dates are actually of the dominant. And what I say by that, I don't even know what is that for women. I don't know. Is there alpha women? But I tend to get with women who not only demonstrate through consent, but they're more active. So if we went to a party and there was three women and there was an option to approach, I'd be like, okay, let me peep that scene about. But if one of those women turned around and walked over to me, that's the one I'm gonna shoot at.
Beautiful.
Like that. It takes that. Oh, is she feeling? Did she stare a little bit longer? Right. Oh, like I got to separate the group. Oh, do I buy all three drinks? Like I don't like dealing with all that dynamic. It's like I've actually walked up to women and be like, "Who here is single?" And if two of them go,
"Do you like me?"
You know, exactly. And if one of them go, "Man, oh, I got a man," I still got to figure out some kind of other, you know, system breakdown. I'll talk to both, at least continue a conversation. And then I vibe off, okay, who's passing the ball back and forth?
Right.
Again, in this basketball metaphor, if somebody lets it go, are they clearly not interested, even if they're single? Like, that's like, if you would call it my game, which is actually the absence of game. I play off like the defensive weakness. So, you know, there's different ways to come at it. So that's why for some men who are like these women who give signs, I am a man. You could stare at me all day. Well, maybe I guess if you stare for a significant longer time, that would find
you. If you look at me for too long, I feel like you like me. You're trying to see what's happening.
Yeah. So I met my wife. Better.
One of the two.
Yes, my wife now, even going back to what you said, my wife, who is probably convinced to this day that I'm a liar, even though I've repeated this story all 7 years that we've known each other, is like my DMs, desert dry. All my life, my DMs been desert dry. Like, you know, I've been a writer. Like, and if they are, they're professional. It's like, hey, we need you to write or, you know, we need you to come here or speak there. But women don't shoot my DM. She fell in my DMs. So my obvious conclusion was she wants the D, you know, obviously, because I don't have a slew of women in my DMs. In her world, like, you know, like she's it's the Harlem Globetrotters in my DMs.
Right.
She was the first one balling in there. So I was like, and she, you know, she, like you said, she asked some, she claims I was the only one of 3 billion people on Earth plus Google that could answer this question. And I was like, yeah, I'm pulling. And, you know, we argue about how that went and how that ended.
Right.
With that being said, that's another way to play the game. And I bring that up, tying it back to the passport. And the way I'm going to segue this back together, people are like, where is this story going? It's like, what's the future? So the passport future, and I'll tee it off with this conversation for you. Conversation starter for the future of the passport, bro, or not, is do you, now that you know the definition and we walk through all these, we've established your player archetype, do you consider yourself a passport, bro? Why or why not?
I definitely do not consider myself to be a passport, bro. I think primarily because when I travel, it is for the love of travel, the hunger to experience different cultures, to connect with different cultures, to build linguistic skill, et cetera, and just to broaden my overall worldly perspective. I can remember I take an annual trip to celebrate my birthday around Thanksgiving every year. And I remember the first, we've been doing that trip for like 10 years. It's one of the main trips that I plan every year. And I remember the first time we went on a trip, it was myself and two of my best friends. We went to Paris, Amsterdam, and Rome. We had a ball. We had a great time. We were like, we are, you know, thick as thieves, and we just experienced different things. It was one of my boys' first time going abroad. We had met some of my friends in Paris, and we made friends. We're going to make friends wherever we go, and we made friends in Rome, and we had a great time. We got back, and one of our mutual friends, the first thing he asked was like, y'all ain't had no chicks over there? It was like, what? Like, I just don't understand why that's the only thing that you are worried about when you are at a place that you've never experienced before. You've never seen this before. Like, this is brand new to your eyes. Like, you are seeing things that previously only existed in books and on the internet for you. Message. You know, and I just think that that's something that that's more so what motivates me. I will say, though, because we have been talking about... Well,
let me ask before you pivot. Why can't everything you described there be a passport, bro? So why do you differentiate that as an experience that couldn't be a passport, bro?
I feel like passport bros, when they're traveling, they're seeking out an experience that they can't get in America. And what I mean by that, and that's romantic based. So making it cleaner, I think passport bros are traveling with the intention of having a romantic experience that they don't have access to, or that they can't curate in America. And that's something that is just honestly not a consideration for me whenever I travel, to be quite honest. I think that whether that is them meeting someone over there, whether that is them paying for a good time while they're over there, whatever it is, I think that is the primary reason for their tourism, romantic tourism, we'll call it. And that is just like not where my head is, but that's what a passport bro is. I also think, like, as you mentioned at the top of the episode, the denigration of the American woman, the American black woman in certain conversation threads on Al Green's internet, I think that's the piece that also just rubs me the wrong way, is that you are saying that, you know, I'm not going to do this because I can do this. And I think, to your point, like, I'm someone who likes, you know, I like not dominant women, but I like, kind of though, like, I like aggressive women. I like women who got their own stuff, who own the room, who command a presence, who are very sure of themselves, who are confident. I've never given a damn if a woman I'm dating, dealing with, gonna marry, makes more than me, because I'm confident in myself. So like, that doesn't move me one way or the other necessarily. As long as I feel fulfilled in what I'm doing and in my passion, and that we can coexist and build each other up together, like, I'm smooth. So that's a long-winded way of saying of why I would say that's I would not consider myself to be a passport bro. I will also say, like, I do benefit from the privilege. I'm 6'2", you know, two something, you know, got my stuff together. You know, I have had access. I have been able to, garner some attention from women in my life. And so I don't feel that pressure either to, like, go over there and seek a new experience or seek something that, I don't thirst for, like, the attention of women, and I have to have it by any means necessary.
Let me ask this, your lived experience, are women abroad different? And then, if so, explain. And then, if yes, are women abroad different? Big question mark. Or are women abroad different because they're different? You know what I'm saying? So, like, you can visit another city and be like, man, these women here are different. Because it's different than the zip code that you're in. Right. They got different accents. They got different, you know, they got different dresses style. So are they different, like this American, typically? I heard no other cultures talking about passport. I haven't heard no other cultures talk about passport bros coming to America to take American women. So I'm assuming it originated here. So, you know, are they truly different from your lived experience and your interactions? And then, like, some explanation of why or why not?
Yeah, I think I will say just as a piece, as a guy who has international friends, I will say European men, African men, Australian men, 1,000% have passport bro qualities that they're whether they're coming over to America or and running amok, or where they're just traveling elsewhere throughout the world and they are living. So I will definitely say it is not an American only ideology.
I appreciate the course correction.
Absolutely. I think women everywhere are different. I think women are unique just in and of themselves. I think, again, it's kind of a mesh point and an equation, if you will, of where you are in your life, what you're looking for, and how you interact with this person that you meet. You, of course, have stereotypes where, going back to what you were saying before, like, women in certain cultures have a reputation for being more docile, more amenable to whatever their man wants. And for some guys, that's what they're looking for. You know what I'm saying? But there are docile women in America. There are, there are docile women all over the place. There are also, more assertive women everywhere as well. So I think that the way that they are perceived perhaps in their home country, as opposed to when they're somewhere else, could be different, as well as men who here may want to be dominant and they get, laughed out the club whenever in America, but then they go somewhere else and now they can feel like the man. So I think, like, I just think that there are certain countries that have reputations for having more docile women. But I honestly think people are people, for my own. However, I also think that there are different motivations that exist. So you never know if someone is, trying to get to America. If someone is trying to get a green card, if someone is, which may sound archaic and outdated, but that is a real and active thing that is happening not only in third world countries, but in developed countries where people want to come to America to in pursuit of the American dream or in pursuit of a different life. And that is a path to get your green card, to gain American citizenship. and then there are some who are just like, they may be looking for love as well. They may be leaning forward on that, into that experience. I also think there's a perception of wealth or people having money when Americans are traveling as well. So I think that's also another piece. Even if it's not a long time, they may be looking to pat them pockets while you are visiting as well.
So I'll end with where we began. A shout out to the listening audience. It was an anonymous survey. I think I remember the person who sent this one in. I did ask what they thought a passport bro was. I just asked for their definition. And this woman said, a morally and financially poor man that wants a trad wife without trad values or earnings. So shout out to that definition. Matter of fact, you know, as we wrap up the episode, if you have a definition for passport bro that isn't that one, you can drop it in the comments.
Can you read that again, please?
Yeah, and some people are going to be hearing that for the first time. That actually might be our next episode. So trad wife, which is also a whole nother hashtag movement, is traditional wife. So a passport bro is a morally and financially poor man that wants a trad wife without trad values or earnings. That was definition number one. And then to your point earlier about the Europeans, honestly, there are good American women. This actually, I shared this back to the story, and it did not go as over as positively as I think he thought it would. So
it never does.
He said exactly. That's the internet for you. Honestly, there are good American women. I'm European. My wife is American. And of course, they're like, of course there's good American. It went sideways very quickly. That being said, I want to get that definition out there. If you have a new definition or it's changed, please drop it right now or let the people know where they can find out more about you. Thank you for coming on this episode of What is a Passport, Bro?
Thank you for that. You can follow me at GQ50, at The Travel Guys. That's TheTravelGuyDes. Subscribe to The Travel Guys podcast on TikTok, JoshGQ50 as well. And just be on the lookout for new projects. Appreciate the time, my brother. Thank you for inviting me on.
Appreciate it.